Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. This is coverage season. Thank you for tuning into our first podcast. We're very excited to have all of you here listening to us. It's your boy, Easy Ollie.
It's your boy, D-Dubs.
Yup, man. It is a big day in the NFL. Breaking news. I'm sure everyone here has already seen it. Antonio Brown is no longer a member of the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, we knew it was going to get here. Come on, let's be real, folks. Let's be real with ourselves. We knew it was going to get here since, you know, the first incident happened. As soon as it happened, we were like, uh-oh, here it goes. And we've been following the Antonio Brown saga since. So, where you want? Where you want? So you want to start from jump, or you just want to get right into it? Or what's going on?
It was so not a shock to me that I made sure in every fantasy league that I was in, I did not draft Antonio Brown. It was written on the wall. You know, he acted up one time, and these guys in Oakland, hands up to them, Mike Mayock and John Gruden, because they're really trying to change things in Oakland and get a culture shift over there. And, you know, they have a young team. They have a few young pieces, Derek Carr, Josh Jacobs. You know, they got a few pieces that, you know, can really help them get to the next level. And, you know, you don't want anything to ruin that for you, especially when you're trying to build the right way. And, you know, I just don't know how it got this bad this fast.
Oakland, they turn around with this new culture, like almost kind of like New England, because look who's over there. You got Richie Incognito, you got Vontaze Burfict. Like, they're really trying to turn around and make something big. And here comes this guy with his attitude and his demeanor. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't have swag, because I'm not going to lie. Look at Dion. Dion had swag. He was smooth. He was Dion. But he never let his ego get away from the way that he played the game.
I think it's a little bit more than ego too with AB. I mean, if you look at him, you know, he's letting in-house things get out there. As locker rooms go, and you know, with experience, the locker room is a tight bond, man. And you go in there with all those other players, with those 52 other players, you want to make sure that you guys are tight. Because there's no I in team. You know, you want to make sure that the superstar guy has your back and is going to be there for you at the end of the season. And once you break that, you're kind of messing with fire at that point. I believe that AB has the talent. You know, I really like him. I think he's generational as far as talent goes. In the last 15 years, I'd only put one receiver over him, and that's Calvin Johnson. I think he's been that good. I just don't understand how it got this bad this fast. I mean, I know with Pittsburgh, it's something that kind of started growing over time. But, I mean, look at the body of work that he's done. In 5 out of the last 7 years, he's had over maybe 1,400 yards receiving. He's been an X factor. He's been a superstar, you know, someone who you can depend on. And you hate to see it. I really don't know where it goes next for him. I think that this is a huge bump in the road as far as his career goes. I don't understand how he can be this big of a distraction at this point in his career.
You know, I think there's a lot of things that he's letting get in the way of playing football. There's certain things that you know you can't stand for, and there's certain things that you just got to let go and just start worrying about playing football. At the end of the day, right. You know, when everything had transpired, when starting from the beginning, you know. What was it first, his feet or the helmet?
It was a little bit of both, but I think the helmet thing has always been there, even though that's the craziest thing that I've ever heard. But I think the feet issue is something that may have been handled wrong. I think now, especially after the Kevin Durant thing in Oakland, I think that with teams, the way they handle injuries, players are going to start putting a lot of pressure on teams as far as how they handle these things, letting the word out and what treatment they decide to do. And I think the way that they maybe handled the foot thing kind of started everything. And Mike Mayock, I know he's a guy who's coming from TV to the sideline. He was a former player himself, so he kind of knows how things go in the locker room. I don't think that he's not a smart guy. I think he's smart. I think he understands the way the league is going now, the way the culture in the league is, the camaraderie between players. I think he understands that. But I think that the issues with Antonio Brown may have stemmed from how they may have handled the situation with his feet. Now, I mean, did you see them things, man? Them things look terrible, man. Them things look burnt to a crisp. Man, things look beat up. Oh, but it's all a matter of how they handled it, I think.
The way that they handled this is not something new. And I said this, it's a little bit of both. You know there's certain protection that goes into this type of treatment. When you go to cryo, there's gloves. There's shoes, and there's also special socks that you have to wear. You're not going in there without special treatment because the temperatures that you're going under in there is below zero. And it ain't, you know, something that's, you know, taken very lightly. It's just, there's a science to this thing.
Exactly.
Into his feet, that's a negligence. You know, you a little bit on both sides because as a player, this is not the first time you're going through this, right? So, I could understand if it's faulty equipment, if you were wearing everything. But if you're going in there and you know you're supposed to be wearing this, like, what service are you doing to yourself? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. What service are you doing to your team? But this is kind of leading me to my next question that I have to ask you. And is, at this point, Saturday, September 7th, 2019, if Antonio Brown no longer plays another snap in the NFL, what is his legacy?
Okay. We're going to talk about his legacy. He's one of the best to ever do it. And we're talking about straight numbers. We're not talking about off the field antics. We're not talking about anything else. And you know, we're just going to look at his numbers. And I'm going to go down his highlights real quick. 7-time Pro Bowl, four-time first team All-Pro, second team All-Pro 2013, 2-time NFL receiving yard leader, 2-time NFL reception leader, you know, NFL receiving touchdowns leader in 2018, 2-time first team All-American, 2-time first team All-MAC conference, 2-time MAC special teams player of the year, second team All-MAC 2007, and MAC freshman of the year. So in all that, even it's all statistics, if you want to go down the line, you know, receptions, 837 career, receiving yards, 11,207, receiving touchdowns, 74, total return yards, 2,900, and return touchdowns, you know, he's got 5. But in that whole body of work, it's the consistency. For 10 years, he's been putting up 1,000 yards. 10 years. The man has been put in work. He is putting in graciously. He is putting in effort, and there's no one to top him. No one.
Okay. I totally agree with you. And later on in a few weeks, we'll have our talk about generational talent. You know, in my book right now, I think he's the best. You know, if Calvin Johnson was still in the league, I think Calvin would take the cake as the best receiver still. I don't think we've ever seen anything like him. And if people, you know, haven't seen Calvin Johnson, I think you missed out. But if you really look at how Calvin played, he was phenomenal. But Antonio Brown, I think, as a possession receiver, as a route runner, his overall skill set as a run blocker. Le'Veon Bell doesn't have that many yards rushing without having some run blocking, running on the right side next to Antonio Brown. I mean, his body of work has been flawless. I think he's a little bit like Chad Johnson at this point because of the antics. And I know that the antics shouldn't have anything to do with your performance and getting to Canton and wearing the jacket. But I think, similar to Chad Johnson, when Chad Johnson was in Cincinnati, he carried the team. He had flawless numbers. He, you know, even though he had a great number two in TJ Houshmandzadeh, as you pointed out earlier in our conversation, you know, he carried the team, but some of his antics have kept Chad Johnson out of the Hall of Fame, like some of his peers, like Terrell Owens. I think that at this stage, the things that are going on around Antonio Brown and the way that media kind of influences things a little bit more now, I think that there's a chance people might give him some trouble to get into Canton. Now, I 100%, if I had a chance to vote, if I was responsible, one of the people who vote for him, I'd vote for him blindly. But I think he will have some trouble.
But, you know, the people again are going to have some issues trying to get him in a jacket, you know, especially with his off the field. Unfortunately, you know, for us, the viewers, the bystanders, the lovers of the game that are not in Canton, we, you know, we look at the stats, we look at the numbers, you know, off the field antics is not it, that's someone's character. That's not football. You know what I mean? When they're on the field, they're on the field, they're producing. When they're off the field, they're somebody else. At the end of the day, I think that his legacy and his body of work, if he were to stop playing today, would stand for itself and test in time, because there aren't receivers out there that are doing it. And there's only a handful in the NFL that are doing it today. And Michael Thomas, OBJ was doing it, but, you know, due to the injury, you know, that kind of, you know, put a knife in it, but still consistent, you know, for 1,000-yard seasons. DeAndre Hopkins. So it's not impossible, but these are the guys right now that are putting up the numbers and are the generational talent that, as we spoke before, are leading the way in the NFL.
I definitely agree with that. Now, if it so happens that this is not his last snap or last season wasn't his last season playing football, where do you think AB would end up? Where do you think AB is going to go?
New England Patriots, and I'm saying it to you first. If he is going to go somewhere and I see a fit for him, it's the New England Patriots, because let's get it straight. The New England Patriots, they have a number one a receiver, but he's a lot older, and at the end of the day, he's not a true wideout. He's a slot receiver in Julian Edelman. Now, you also have Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon, yes, he plays outside, but he hasn't had the consistency that we would like him to have in a number one receiver due to, you know, again, some of the off-field issues. But he was productive when he was on the field. Very, very productive. Let's not get that twisted. Now, Antonio Brown can bring his production to New England. The whole AFC is not a problem, because Thomas is going to have a target that knows how to get open, that does not need a lot of time to get open, and Tom Brady can put it – he can still put the ball
– Wait. Who's going to have a problem?
I think the AFC is going to have a
problem. Yo. I mean, you're dead on. You're spot on with that. New England is the ideal fit for me. I think – even for off-the-field reasons. And the reason I say off-the-field reasons, I feel like Antonio Brown is not Chad Johnson in New England. He would be Antonio Brown in New England.
No,
for sure. You know, I feel like when Chad Johnson got to New England, it was kind of the end.
He diminished.
Yeah, I mean, for him, for AB to get to New England, it's not going to be the same thing. And
no,
there's
already a player that we expect with Tom Brady calling, you know, the second to get him the ball.
There's already a culture in New England. There's no, we're building this and we want to be that, and we are this already. And I feel like if he gets to New England, Bill Belichick's going to set it straight. I don't care if they tell him to go play out there with a hat. Antonio Brown is going to put a hat on if he goes to New England.
Exactly.
Those guys, they're about their business. It's a do-your-job system. You go over there to do your job and to get paid doing your job. I think that New England would be the ideal fit. I think a sleeper fit for him, and we agreed on this earlier, would be Jacksonville. Jacksonville with that defense and the team that they have, I think Jacksonville would be an ideal fit as well. I think that they were about two players short of being a good team last year. They've added that one player being Yep, and Nick Foles, I think, would be a good quarterback for Antonio Brown, and I think they would have a shot at being a good team. But, I mean, I think those are the only two spots where I can really see him going. I don't see him going anywhere else, which is why I think at this point it may be over for AB. He might be done.
Okay. I see your point there. But back to Jacksonville, I'm not going to lie. Jacksonville has come up in the last year. They got a lot. They had a lot of draft picks. They use them well. You know, like you said, the defense has come up. Josh Allen, you still got Miles Jack out there. So the defense is solidified.
Yeah.
You got your A1, and you got Jalen Ramsey out there in the corner. So you have your defense, and your offense is coming up significantly. You know, you got Leonard Fournette. Let's get him healthy. Injury prone last year, you know, missed a couple games. With him healthy and Diddy Westbrook, the combination between Nick Foles and Diddy Westbrook is serious. It's real. It's almost
Great chemistry going on right now.
Julian Edelman-esque, you know, type of thing. And we only seen it a couple times in the preseason, but from what the sources are saying that is going on in practice, I heard it's real. And you got Marquise Lee and DJ Clark, you know, these guys came out last year, especially with some of the injuries, and they stepped up, and they stepped up big time. So I think this year, if Antonio Brown could slip himself into that roster and conform, it's like, this is what you said earlier, and I'm so glad you brought it up. Tom Coughlin does not play. Go ahead.
Nope. He does not. He's about his business. He's about his business, and he knows what, you know, how to run a football team, and he's a no nonsense guy. In order to win, you have to have no nonsense guys and guys who are about football.
You're absolutely right, and Tom Coughlin's that guy. And so I wanted to ask you one more question. You know, it wasn't on the agenda, but we're gonna get to it. So we were talking about his legacy what the future holds for AB, what's coming next. What kind of contract do you think AB is going to be able to get if he signs with another team?
He ain't getting no money, man. I mean, if any deal, if I'm any team, I give him a one-year flyer. I mean, a top wide receiver right now is making maybe $13 to $18 million a year. Mm-hmm. So if I'm a team, he needs to rebuild his image, and I'm giving him a shot. 1 year, $8-9 million at most. There's not much that I would give AB right now. I mean, you know, he's kind of put himself there. At most.
Crazy. Remember this time last year when Dez Bryant was looking for a team, and he said he wasn't going to take $7-8 million. You think AB going to take $7-8 million?
He's not gonna have a choice.
Oh, then that's when you're gonna see the eagle fly, and guess what? It ain't gonna fly anywhere else. But there's gonna be a team that's gonna give him a chance, and that's gonna give him the money. To be honest, I think you can give him $10 million. Honestly, I think you can give him $10 million because it's not the 13, now, 14 million. But
now the question though, he's worth the $10 million.
Okay,
I think he's worth more than that. But are you willing to give him that based on what has been happening?
Okay. So here's what I'm saying. He's worth the $10 million, but because of what, like you said, what has transgressed and where they are in the season. We ain't preseason. This ain't like August. Like, you know, the season hasn't even started. The season has already started. And this is going on. You're just getting released. So if he's worth $10 million, I would have to prorate it over, you know, the practices and everything leading up to where we are now, to the day that he signed, and that's where you're going to figure that's where he's going to make his money. If he's, you know, worth $10 million and, you know, he's getting paid from those practices all the way up to, you know, that first game is, you know, worth $2-3 million, take it off the top and then pay him the rest.
This is why I'm only giving him $8-9 million. Number one, you You haven't been a model citizen as an NFL player for about a year now. You have not been. That's number one. So I don't trust you as a player. You are a risk to my locker room being a consistent and cohesive unit. So I'm already troubled by that. So I'm already not going to offer you that much money. Number two, you have barely practiced all summer. You have had some good practices, but you've barely practiced. So my thing is, how durable are you for the start of the season? How in shape are you for the start of the season? And last but not least, what are the incentives that I'm going to give you? The incentives that I'm going to give you is you got to play such and such games. You have to play such and such, you know, amount of downs. You're going to have to definitely not cause any detriment to the locker room. So, you know, there's a lot of things that in stipulations that I'm going to have to put on my contract just to make sure that you can actually earn close to $8 to $9 million. So it's like AB is kind of put himself in a bad position contract wise.
For sure. So, he was going to get, you know, a good, great deal, but as you guys said before, he definitely worked at $10 million before he was even picked up by the Raiders. Everybody was saying what kind of money was he gonna make, and how his contract was gonna reset the market, and it did. But at the end of the day, it ain't Michael Thomas money. Michael Thomas went and reset the market again. So if AB don't get a team and do what he gotta do, he's gonna be sitting on no money.
How fast things change. It's a crazy situation. I can't wait to see what happens with AB. I can't wait to see if he, you know, goes to another team or ends up retiring due to this. But, you know, it's going to be something fun to watch. The next thing I do want to talk to you about quickly is the picks of the week.
Picks of the week.
Exactly. The can't miss picks of the week. We have five games that we have picked out so far for week one that are going to be pretty big games. And I'm actually a fan of a lot of these games. First off, Dallas and the Giants. That's going to be a big game.
Who you got on that one?
I have Dallas winning the game. I think the New York Giants offense is underrated. I think they'll be able to put up some points. But I think the Dallas defense is good. Dallas, to me, has the second best team in the NFC right now. And I think that, you know, when it matters most, the defense will step up and put a stop to Eli. I got a score like 28-17, something like that.
I feel your vibe on that. I definitely think it's going to be a good game. It's definitely a battle of the backs. You know, you're going to have Zeke finally got paid. I think that whole situation with Jerry Jones was really a fluke because the, you know, situation with the media is more available now than it was, you know, back then. I think these kind of things happen all the time. But at the end of the day, just like, you know, Emmett, the guy's worth being paid. Number one in every single category last year, except for, you know, the yards. But at the end of the day, he is that back that you need out there. And I think he's gonna help bring Dallas to a win over the Giants. As much as I hate to say it,
yeah,
do have an offensive weaponry, but I don't think it's gonna be enough to overcome the Dallas Cowboys.
So I do not think that so either. Our second game of the week, this one is a one that you definitely have your eye on.
Yes, sir.
Philly and the Cardinals going up against Matt Stafford and the Lions. Who do you have in this one?
So this game was very, very, very particularly stands out because we got two quarterbacks going head-to-head that need to make a statement. You got Kyler Murray, the all-pro baseball player that gave it up to play football and come play for Kings Cliffberry. I think that this offense, high-power offense, is going to be amazing to watch. this year. You know, last year, Chris Clark, he was drafted, but, you know, didn't really have much going on in the offense, especially with the ups and downs of quarterback. Josh Rosen, not so great. And now we have some new blood in there. You have Kyler Murray, and you have the real offense that, which also in college that he thrived in. He's going to be a guy to watch. We already know Fitz is going to do what he does, and those are, you know, make those catches, get those numbers. But this guy, Chris Clark, I think he's a real sleeper. I think he's one to watch. Also, their defense is stepping up. And on the other side, you have Detroit, Matt Stafford, who's coming off not so great, but not so bad here either. You know, he was starting to look, he was looking good in some games, but other games, it wasn't his fault. Defense was falling apart, and, you know, he's losing players left and right, trades, and that's not the only thing. Like you had mentioned this before, but Matt Patricia got a lot to prove as well on the other side of the ball. Coming from New England. Go ahead. Explain that story.
I think Matt Patricia, as a first-year head coach, I think he had a lot of expectations. He was the defensive coordinator of the number one defense, Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. And I think that by the end of the season, he had enough tools on both offense and defense to be able to make it to the playoffs. I mean, Kerryon Johnson, what people don't really understand, Kerryon Johnson is like the first 1,000-yard runner for the Detroit Lions in like 10, 15 years. I think they really need some help in the secondary. But, I mean, I really do like them. I do have Arizona winning the game. I think the preseason, I mean, I think they kind of held things back. But I think they go ahead and take the top off of the Detroit defense and take that game.
Yeah, I think you're right. But, you know, there's one thing about this offense that, you know, is they are sleepers on this offense. Jermaine Kearse is on here. Let's not forget, they did acquire, you know, Jesse James from, like, once again, Pittsburgh. Another vet, Danny Amendola, C.J. Anderson.
Yeah.
Coming off out of the Super Bowl, producing numbers for the Rams. So let's see what's going on. You know, the usual Marvin Jones, Kenny Galladay, and Darius Slay. Kenny Galladay putting up numbers like they usually do. So let's see how they do this year. And the next game that we have on our list is
actually my favorite game.
Chargers versus Indianapolis.
That's right. This is my favorite game. I think, you know, everyone is sad to see Andrew Luck go. He was a gem of a player. I think he was phenomenal. But on the other hand, Jacoby Brissett still has a very, very good offensive line that they have rebuilt in Indianapolis. They have the offensive weapons, I believe. And they have a solid defense. I think that Jacoby Brissett is a solid player. They don't need him to be Andrew Luck. They need him to be a solid game manager. They have an offensive line where they can run the football now. I think that this is a good first test.
I don't even think this is a first test for him, because if you look at Jacoby Brissett, being able to come in New England and, you know, win some games, and then in Indianapolis, step in for Andrew Luck mid-season and still put up 3,000, you know, well, almost the beginning of the season, but put up 3,000 yards in 2017. That was a big, big season for him. His pass rate was 81, which wasn't the greatest. His completion percent wasn't the greatest, but he was able to get in there and put in the work, get some experience under his belt. And I think that he has what it takes to take this team to a Super Bowl. I think they definitely can make the playoffs, especially with the way that the offensive line is solidified. But we're going to have to see how this works. They came out and they paid him. I think it was a smart move to pay him early, because he's already proven himself as being able to fulfill, you know, that pocket passer quarterback role. So now, you know, you get out in front of it, you pay him early. Hey, this is a guy that we can, you know, build our franchise around, because, you know, he's definitely better than Brian Hoyer. So let's build behind him. Let's pay him. Let's show him that he's secure for our team. And I think the Colts did a good job there.
I like all that. I do very, very much agree with you that they paid him early. I think it was the smartest thing that they could have done. They jumped ahead of the gun. So, you know, he can outplay his contract. But if he doesn't outplay his contract, it's okay because it wasn't that much money. So I think it was very smart on their end. But I think it is a challenge because before he was a backup. We knew he was a backup. He wasn't going to, you know, take over. He wasn't taking over for Tom Brady. And back in 2017, he wasn't taking over for Andrew Luck. He was just a placeholder. So there was no pressure, no expectations of him. Now he is the guy. He is the leader of that team now. So I think he has to put a statement game out on Sunday. Like, hey, this is my team now. Andrew Luck is no more. I'm the guy that they chose, and I'm going to lead this team. I definitely agree with you. I think they have all the pieces to make it to the playoffs. I think that he can make it to the playoffs, and he can win them some games. I don't think that he can get them to the Super Bowl just yet, but I do believe with the way the defense is built and the offensive line that he can take them to a championship game. I still don't mind seeing the Colts take on the Patriots in the championship game this year. I think that's something that's possible and something that can be done. Now, as far as them going up against the Chargers this week, I don't think they're going to win that game. I think the Chargers...
You know, I didn't think so either, but, you know, I'm looking at this roster, and they are deep. I didn't think they were that deep, but they are deep. Offensively, they got some weapons, you know? Jacoby Brissett, they got Marlon Mack, they got Ty Hilton.
Yeah.
You got Ebron, and you got Devon Futches, and you got Spencer Ware. So I think offensively they're looking okay, but defensively, you got Justin Houston. You got
Darius Leonard. I mean, he's great.
You got a lot of people. You got that, like you said, Darius Leonard. So I think defensively they'll be able to, and they'll be able to do something this weekend.
Yep, I think so. But I think Chargers come out on top. I think this is going to be one of Phillip Rivers' big opening weekend games. I think he goes out, throws about 3 touchdowns. I think it's about a 35-21 game for them. The next game is actually your favorite game on the 5 that we picked. Kansas City and Jacksonville. Who you got?
Woo! This right here for me is game of the week. This is the game I want to watch. This is the game that I want to see. Woo! Okay, Kansas City, we got the gunslinger, the young, you know, talented MVP. My guy, Patrick Mahomes.
That's your
most of his offensive weapons returning for the year, except for, you know, Mr. Hunt, who had to, you know, get himself expelled from the team. He's out in Cleveland right now, but hey, it is what it is. Kansas City has a high power offense, and I think we're gonna see a lot more of it. The offense is designed as a fast-paced momentum, and I think that they're going to keep that up. Now, defensively, they've also stepped up. You also see Tyrann Mathieu stepped over, and he's over there now. So, well, we're going to have to see. I think they're definitely going to be Super Bowl contenders again.
KC, I know that you love Patrick Mahomes. I know that's your guy. I just want to see. Can he keep going?
That's one thing that we want to see too. Is can he keep going? Can he keep up the body of work that he's been doing? And I don't want to take shine away from Jacksonville either, because Jacksonville just acquired some brand new pieces in signing Nick Foles, Super Bowl winner, and Dede Westbrook in their draft. So. This year for them is they put a lot of pieces in place offensively and defensively. If you look at the roster offensively, they've got a lot to work with. They have a lot of young guys coming back with Marquise Lee. And, you know, like I said, Dede Westbrook as a weapon. And you also got Leonard Fournette. If he can stay healthy, I think they have a great chance of making the playoffs. Defensively, they also got better too. So with that, I think that this game is going to be very close. I do think that Kansas City is going to pull it out. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think it's going to be, you know, somewhere around 34 to 24, Kansas City pulls it out.
I think, you know, you're definitely right about Jacksonville. They definitely have Dede Westbrook, who over the past two seasons, I think, has really grown. And I think Conley, who they signed from Kansas City, I think he's going to be a good piece for them as well moving forward. But, I mean, I really like Kansas City as well. Like I said, I would like to see Pat Mahomes keep it going. The talent is there. There's no doubt about that. But I'm gonna agree with you. I think Kansas City comes out on top. Opening weekend, I think Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce have a heck of a game, both of them, and you know they turn this thing out. And of course, our last game of the week, Carolina Panthers and the Los Angeles Rams. That's a big game, and the reason that I think this is a big game is because Carolina was just a contender a few seasons ago, and you know, even though they've lost some assets on defense and their receiving core isn't as shiny as it was a few years ago with Calvin Benjamin and Devin Funchess, I think that, you know, Carolina still has a solid team with Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey leading the charge. I also think that the Rams, you know, even though they've lost a few pieces on defense, not many, but I still think that they're still in the thick of it. I still think that they're the best team in the NFC with Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, Robert Woods, and, you know, the bunch of guys that they have on offense complemented with the speed that they have on defense. I think that they're still a team to watch, and I think this is a big game for both teams. I do have the Rams winning it out, but I also think that Cam Newton makes a statement this game that he's still a legit quarterback and number one player in this league.
Yeah, no, I think Cam, this is a time for Cam Newton to come out and prove himself. I do agree with you. I do have the Rams coming out on this one. But in spite of some of the, you know, some of the things that have happened, you know, transpired last year in the Super Bowl, you know, Todd Gurley, I think he also has something to prove to himself to show that, you know, the knees are golden. You know, they pay me this money because they know that this is what I can do. I think regular season, he's going to do okay as long as he can, you know, maintain his health and he can take care of those knees. I do think that they might have to put him on a limit. I think the amount of touches that he gets should be limited. He should be I think Los Angeles has the capability of being a two-back system with Tyreek
Hill. I really like that. They got Henderson from Memphis, which is great running back, man. And I think that's what they need to do. They definitely need to get Todd Gurley in a timeshare. You don't want to waste him. You don't want his career to end too early because you
As you saw last season, you know, towards the end of the season, he was getting a little, you know, beat up. And
so you want to keep him fresh for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. And defensively, let's not forget, they also added a key piece. Clay Matthews is now in Los Angeles.
He is going to be
a key part in that defense along with Aaron McDonald. And you're going to see they're going to turn it around. Marcus Peters coming back. You got Aqib Talib still out there. So
Marcus Peters,
to watch out there.
Yeah, I think the combination of anybody with Aaron Donald is dominant, and I think that Clay Matthews, it was time for a change for him, and he had the opportunity to go somewhere where he's going to be able to compete for a championship, and I think that is going to be great for his career. We are getting to that point where we need to come to a close for this week's episode, and we really appreciate everybody coming here and spending the time and listening to us. And before we leave, we just want to leave you with one thing. It's been 919 days since Colin Kaepernick has last played a down in the NFL. You know, as at this point, when will Cap play? When will he play? Exactly. I mean, you know, what is his motivation right now? Is what I would ask myself. You know, and I think his motivation is to keep on working hard. You mentioned that earlier, that we've seen the clips, we've seen him throwing to Odell, we've seen him still in shape, we see him still preparing as if he's going to work. And work being that football field. And I mean, I think that he's been in contact with a few teams.
I think so too, because right now they've got a couple quarterback situations that aren't looking too good. I mean, the Colts, they were somebody, but you already saw they signed Jacoby Brissett, but they still need a backup.
You give me 15 quarterbacks better than Colin Kaepernick.
Oh no, for sure.
It bothers me a little bit still. I do understand the politics of it. But at this point, I think we're gonna see. I would like to see him play. And it may not be in the NFL. It may be in the XFL. And I know a lot of people are a little worried about the XFL. We don't know what this is. We know what the old XFL was, but we don't know what this one is. So, I think people are a little bit worried, but that's where he may end up. And if it's a solid league, that's a good move for him, especially if they're going to pay him the money that he deserves. That's a question that we always got to ask ourselves, man. When will Cap play? He's a great quarterback, I think. In his short time in the NFL, he led his team to the championship game a few times. He went to a Super Bowl. He almost won the Super Bowl. So I think there's definitely opportunity for him to still play in the NFL.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think that he should be presented with an opportunity. It might not be in the NFL, like you said. It might be the XFL, which I think I have high hopes for. I think it's going to be better than the other football league that Johnny Manziel was part of. I don't even want to talk about it because it was so horrendous. It was so garbage. It was so trash. I can't even believe they even came up with that. The rules were good. They need to adopt some of the rules in the NFL. But, man, was that league garbage. Hot garbage. But yep. At the end of the day, I think Cap will play. I think that it's just going to be some time. I think if he does play, it's going to be within the next year or two. If it goes any time outside of that, I don't think he's going to see the field again because of his age, the factor, and how long he's been away from the game. Is it fair? I don't think so. I still think he can beat out a lot of guys, especially with his footwork. Let's not forget, Cam Newton and him are almost the same size. Cam is a little bit bigger, a little bit heavier, but they're almost the same height, almost same wingspan. Now, and speed-wise, they're almost the same, too. I think Cam runs a 4.45, and I think he runs a 4.46 or a 4.47. So not that much difference in speed, and you're talking about two fast quarterbacks. So if Cam is still doing it, I think he can do too.
Yep, I definitely agree with you. Everybody, we definitely thank you for tuning in to us. We appreciate you, and we will see you next week for
tune in next week while we go over our weekly mishaps from fantasy. We'll go over some of our fantasy picks, some of our leagues, and we'll break down what we think we did wrong. We also want some of your input of what you could have did better or what you did wrong in your fantasy league, and what happened, what brought you to where you're at. If you got a win, perfect. If you got a dub, come talk to us. Let's talk. And we also want you to come by some of our pages. Twitter, Instagram, Coverage Season. Come see us.
Come follow us.
All right. You have a good one. We'll see you guys on the next one.